This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. It's so great to have you listening today. The first week of the session has been a busy one for the United States Supreme Court. The court's had a direct impact on life in Wisconsin in a couple of ways in the last week. First, the decision not to take up a case, and in doing so, paving the way for same-sex marriage to become legal here. And later, the court put Wisconsin's voter ID law on hold ahead of the November election. But the court also heard arguments in a case that could very likely impact companies and workers in Wisconsin and around the country. At issue is whether employers should be required to compensate employees for the time they spend standing in mandatory security lines. It's a case and an issue that Paul Secunda has studied closely. He's a professor of employment and labor law at Marquette University, and he's with us in the studio today. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
So this case that's before the Supreme Court now, this session, on working hours, essentially, give us a thumbnail sketch. What is at issue here?
What is at issue is whether or not employees can be required to spend time at a security screening, which can take up to 25 minutes, without being paid for waiting during that time. And the reason it's become so important is in this day and age where employers are trying to make sure that company property is not being stolen, or even to make sure that workplace violence doesn't occur in the workplace, more and more employers in the United States are using various types of security screening before workers begin their actual work.
Well, and if my understanding of the current state of things is correct, there are some seeming inconsistencies about what constitutes time working and what does not.
Correct. You have to pay your employees for every hour that they work. But what does it mean to work? Does driving to your work mean you have to be compensated? Most people would understand, no, I don't get compensated for driving to work. But on the other hand, if you leave your home and you go directly to a client's house, you do have to be compensated for that. Some people ask, do I have to be compensated for a coffee break? The answer is generally yes, because coffee breaks are 15 minutes and you don't have enough time to use it for your own purposes, so you have to be compensated. On the other hand, meal breaks, which are half an hour to an hour, you don't get compensated for because now you have enough time to leave the office, go do some errands, and pick up some lunch. So there's some seemingly inconsistent ways that these cases come out, but the general theme is that is the individual not able to use the time for their own purposes? Are they basically there for the benefit of the employer?
And presumably, and again, if I understand this correctly, there are some cases where things that seem on one level like this actually are covered as working. Employees who have to wear a certain type of uniform or a certain set of safety gear.
Correct. We call these donning and doffing cases, and that means you have to put on protective gear before you start work. A long time ago, the Supreme Court of the United States came up with a test to decide whether or not what employees were doing were part of their so-called principal activities. And they asked whether or not what the employees were doing were integral and indispensable to an employer's principal activities. And that means two things. First, necessary to the principal work performed, and two, done for the benefit of the employer. So let's take someone who works in a meatpacking plant, who has to put on protective equipment. Long time ago, they found that this was compensable time because, after all, the gear was required by the employer's rules and by the nature of the work. It was also done for the benefit of the employer. So that was compensable. But let's take another situation. Let's think of a situation where you have to now go through a security screen when you arrive at a certain place of employment. I don't work for the employer. I'm a visitor. I'm just going to meet with someone who works at that company. Does that mean that that employee who works at that company is more or less likely to be seen as engaged in compensable time when they themselves go through that security screen? The answer is, if more than just employees have to go through the security screen like visitors, then it's probably not compensable. Also, Let's say the federal government, the Federal Aviation Administration, says on an airport construction site, you have to go through a security screen before you're allowed on the site. Well, that's not for the benefit of the employer. That is mandated by the government. That's also not compensable. So these are some previous cases that have sent some mixed signals about whether or not employees who are waiting to go through a security screen should be compensated or not.
Well, and if from what I gather, you also have employers pointing out that workers inevitably spend time accessing their job, whether they're seemingly required to or not.
Correct. And what we generally have in this area of the law is what we call a de minimis test. And when we say de minimis, it's just a fancy Latin word for meaning negligible. So if it takes you 2, 3, even up to 5 minutes to do something because you're on your way from one part of your employment to another, generally the courts will say that's not enough. There's not enough, you know, there for you to be compensated. So you're not going to get compensated. We say that's either part of the preliminary activity or the post-preliminary activity. It's not part of the principal activity. The question is whether or not standing in a security line is indistinguishable, integral to the principal activity that the workers are doing at this employer.
Well, and at the same time, often the company doing the screening does not necessarily have any incentive to make the screening process an efficient one.
Well, if they're not paying the employees waiting in line to go through the security screen, absolutely. Whether I'm waiting 15 minutes in that line, 25 minutes, or think of the airport, an hour, and I'm not getting paid, why does the company care how long I wait? One of the things that is very interesting about this area is that if you require compensation when you make employees wait to do things like going through a security device, it's very interesting what happens after you make them pay for that. Things get a lot more efficient, a lot quicker. So rather than one security line, now there's 4 security lines. Let me give you another example. Let's say you work in an office building and you work on the 20th floor. And there is one elevator for the entire building in a 30-floor building. It takes you 25 minutes to get to your desk. Are you being compensated for that time? Generally, no. But what if you had to be compensated for the time while you waited for the elevator? Guess what there would be the next day? There would be 4 elevators. And there would be one elevator going from floors 1 to 10. There would be another elevator going from floors 11 to 20 and so on. So I think one of the reasons that we require employers to compensate in these types of situations is we want to give them an economic incentive to make the workplace more efficient. And so employees have to waste less time wasting their time and can use the time for their own leisure purposes.
But is the Supreme Court typically in the business of giving employers economic incentives to do anything?
Oh, all the time. I mean, law itself is about economic policy to a large degree. We're giving employers incentives to take certain safety and health precautions. We're giving employers incentives to hire people on legitimate grounds as opposed to illegitimate grounds, especially in labor and employment law. I think economic incentives are part and parcel of how our legal system works.
How open to these kinds of arguments is the current makeup of this Supreme Court?
I don't really think that this is a political argument. I think this is one of these arguments which is going to go to a very close parsing of the terminology here. In this specific case involving people who work for Integrity Staffing, who are involved in fulfilling orders for Amazon in Nevada, they only have to go through a security screening when they leave work, not when they enter work. Okay, that's important because if they're only being tested when they leave work, the employer's intent is clear. They want to make sure that the employees are not stealing the merchandise. So the question is the screening, to use the language of the Supreme Court, necessary to the principal work performed? Now, I could see someone saying, well, the principal work performed is working in a warehouse. And so going through a security screen is not connected in any way to the principal work performed. But the Ninth Circuit, which is the intermediate appellate court that heard this case before the Supreme Court, said we need to look at the nature of the employee's work, right? Integrity requires a screening to prevent employee theft, a concern that stems from the nature of the employee's work, specifically their access to merchandise. That's a quote from that case. And so they said the nature of the work being what it is, this is necessary to the principal work performed, and it's certainly for the employer's benefit because they're trying to make sure their merchandise isn't stolen. So I think personally it's not a political issue. It's how you see this language. It's really based on whether you see the word necessary as meaning necessarily in the formal sense that it's necessary to the job that you're doing, or whether it just means the nature of the work requires that you go through this security screen.
Is it relevant that stealing from a warehouse is illegal regardless of what the policy is as far as security lines go?
I don't think so. I think that what we're asking is not whether or not people are stealing or not, because if they're stealing, it's a criminal violation, which you can be indicted for and brought up on criminal charges. No one is contesting that. What we're talking about is that most employees who work for Integrity are not stealing. But nevertheless, they're made to wait in line for 25 minutes to go through a security screening before they can leave work at the end of the day, and they're not being compensated for the 25 minutes. And so I think it's really about whether or not they can use that time for their own purposes or they can't. To me, and this won't sound too surprising to the listeners out there, I think they can't use the time for their own purposes. So following the policy of the Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the federal law involved here, they certainly should be compensated. And the good news about that for employers is that although it could potentially be a $1 billion problem, they have the solution themselves. All they have to do is make the security process more efficient, and then they don't have to worry about having to compensate employees for all this wasted time.
All right. Well, Paul Secunda, you have an elevator to go wait for. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Paul Secunda is a professor of employment and labor law at Marquette University Law School. He spoke with us about a case before the Supreme Court this term involving workers at an Amazon.com warehouse in Nevada. There is more of Lake Effect after a brief break on listener-supported WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.